This is a Book a Day podcast, and I welcome you to the final episode of our series where I am narrating the biblical narrative. The fundamental story of the Bible and how we start from Adam and Eve and get to Jesus and his life. So far, in the previous episode, we got to the point where Jesus was just born. And if you want to check out the story, what happens from the beginning of the universe till that point in Israelites' lives, then I bet you have to check the previous episodes. Please do that. And once you get to the end of the episode 6, then you can move forward with this one. And if you have followed us so far, then let's move ahead. And just one point I want to make here, that so far what we have covered is pretty much where Jews and Christians agree on the narrative. What happens to Adam and Eve? What happens to Israelites? But now that the Jesus is born and Christianity comes after that, then the narratives, they begin to differ. And Jesus is seen as the Son of God by the Christians, but it wasn't really the case with the Jews, at least not with the case with today's Jews. So how did we get there? How did the two religions diverge? For that, let's go back to the moment when Jesus was born, and there's a lot of excitement about it, about the whole event. First of all, in this episode, I'm going to use the words Israelites and Jews interchangeably, because at this point, the Israelites, the term came to be known as Jews, people that followed the tradition of Moses and Abraham, and they did not really started following the religion of Christianity, and they remained Jews. Anyway, when we get to the point of Jesus' birth, we find that a lot of people are looking forward to this event because there have been a lot of prophecies about it, that there's going to be the next king in Jerusalem and he's going to be born and the stars are all aligned. So at that moment, when Herod, who was the king of Jerusalem at that point, he gets really insecure about it. And he calls on his priests and really asks them, like, where is this child going to be born? Let me know so that I can find him and I can give him the kind of respect that he deserves. In reality, though, what Herod wanted, he wanted to kill the child right there so that the child does not go on to become the king. So he sends his men over there. He identifies the place where the child was to be born and he sends his men over there. And what happens is God now, once again, as it has been the theme so far, Jehovah the God, he interferes. And he warns those men in a dream that they should not do that. They should not chase this newborn child. And instead, they should go back their home. Now, when Herod, the king, he finds out that his men who were supposed to chase down that child, they are not doing their job. So he gets even more angry. And he gives a command for all the boys in the city, in his kingdom, those who were 2 years or below age, they were to be killed. That was horrific. But once again, God intervenes and he warns Jesus' father, Joseph, once again in a dream. And Joseph leaves the place and he goes along with his family to Egypt. At some point later, when Joseph learns that the king Herod has died, he comes back again to Nazareth. And this is where Jesus grows up, and that's why we call him Jesus of Nazareth. And now Jesus starts growing up in that religious atmosphere where everyone around them worships Jehovah the God. So in a sense, these were all Jews around him. He was born in a Jewish family, and that was the Jewish culture over there. And we find even in his childhood those signs that he was really interested in religious discussions. He was always listening to religious teachers, priests. He was having those conversations. So there were clear signs that this man was not ordinary. This child was not ordinary. And he was going to be something special. And that really happened. And at some point when Jesus is 30 years old, he is baptized. What do we mean by that? Is that he is really repenting for his sins and he's showing his commitment to the God. So that was when Jesus was 30 years of age. And at that point, he has a lot to think about. So he goes away to some lonely place for about 40 days. And we learn that in those 40 days, Satan does come to him. And quite a number of times, in fact. And he tries to lure Jesus with different ideas to go against God and God's laws. But Jesus does not succumb. He returns and he meets his family members, he start preaching now, he start giving certain sermons, and he finds his first of the followers or disciples. And that's where his journey as a prophet begins. He starts preaching, he has his disciples now, he is giving his sermons, and at the same time, he is showing miracles. Why does he start showing miracles in the first place? So to understand that, we have to once again consider what was really happening in that place with the Israelites or Jews. What was really happening was even though they were committed to one God, every now and then what was happening was some of them started worshipping other gods, started worshipping different creatures, and whenever somebody tried to interfere, somebody tried to correct them, they would not listen to that person. So to kind of intimidate or give certain authority and conviction to his message, Jesus shows miracles. And we know about those miracles, don't we? He turned water into wine, he walked on water, all these miracles, they were there. And at the same time, as I said, he was preaching his disciples. And his teaching method is very special. He's really compassionate. He's teaching and he's applying his compassion at the same time. So if he is teaching about compassion, he's practicing it as well. He's treating the sick people, he is protecting children and those who are in need. He is helping everybody out and he's being a good fellow here. And of course, there were miracles every now and then, as I said before. And now comes the crucial point when Jesus comes as king. What used to happen was in Israel that the new king, as he was appointed, he would ride on a young donkey to show himself to the people that this is the new king. So what he does is he asks his disciple to bring a donkey from the city, and then he gets on it and starts riding it. And he goes to Jerusalem to lay claim on that. So what happens there is naturally the current establishment, whether it's the priests or the king, they are naturally very insecure about it. So some of them try to kill him, but then he escapes. But of course we know there was bad things to come. And that was part of God's plan also. So eventually he's taken by the religious leaders, and what happens is the apostles, they run away. They leave Jesus alone with his enemies because obviously they are terrified. But a couple of them, Peter and John they are called, they do not get very far, and they keep following to see what's going to happen next. So the priests, now they take Jesus to an old man, and this old man used to be the high priest, and of course there's crowd gathered now. And when they take this Jesus to this priest, then they have a trial, and where there are many false witnesses are brought in and are told lies about Jesus. And eventually the leader says Jesus should be put to death. Then they spit on his face and hit him with their fists. And then the Friday comes, and early Friday afternoon, Jesus is nailed to a stake. And we know that picture. I think all of us have seen it. And that is where Jesus is killed. And that should have been the end of the story, but we know what happens. So after Jesus has died, the priests, they take special care of guarding his tomb so that nothing magical happens this time. But the magical really happens. The magical thing happens. So early on the third day after Jesus had died, an angel of Jehovah appears, and he rolls the stones away from the tomb. And the soldiers that are guarding that tomb, they are now terrified. And finally, after a lot of courage, when they gather courage, they look inside and they find that the body is gone. Some of them, they go to the city and tell the priests. And now the priests don't know what to do. So instead, what they do is they bribe soldiers to lie and just tell the authorities that his disciples came in the night and they stole the body. In the meantime, those friends and certain women who had come to visit the tomb, they find that this is empty and the body is gone. And then once again, two angels in bright clothing, they appear out of nowhere and they start speaking that, why are you looking for Jesus here? He has been raised up. Go quickly and tell his disciples. And now these women, they start running. And then they go to the disciples and tell that Jesus is alive and they have seen him. And eventually we find out that Jesus has risen again. He has returned. So eventually he comes back to life, stays with his people, guides them. And then once again he leaves and he returns to heaven. Now, as I've said probably a lot of times before, that is how the Christian story goes, because according to Christians and according to the biblical prophecies, the Messiah was to come, and according to Christians, they believed that this was their Messiah. On the other hand, if you go by Jewish belief, they think that it wasn't Jesus and he wasn't really the Messiah, and Messiah is yet to come. And he'll probably come someday. and they are still waiting for that day, whereas Christians have moved on by accepting Jesus as a prophet. So that's where these two religions diverge and we get two different narratives. And as you can see, because of this slight difference in seeing one person as a prophet, as a true prophet rather, and as a false prophet, we get from one religion, we get two religions. And in the same line, we find that Islam comes. And then instead of two, we get three religions. So Islam continues the narrative of first the Old Testament, the Jewish story, then the Christian story, and then comes the later Islamic story. But the other previous two religions, Judaism and Christianity, they reject the prophet of Islam as the final one. So from one to we go to two and then three. So that's been the story of Christianity, and I hope you enjoyed this series. The idea was to familiarize you with what really happens, broadly speaking, and in very simple terms. Obviously, I couldn't really go into the details, I couldn't really go to the complications of the narrative, but the idea was just this, that once you are familiar with the story, later at some point we can get to the complexities, the philosophies and theologies as well. So I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know your thoughts. You can write to me at contactcolumpedia@gmail.com, and keep following me on www.columpedia.org. Thank you once again, and we'll start with the new ideas, new books, and new stories, of course, in the coming episodes. Keep following.